If you would please open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 21. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Sia. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? John Gill writes these words about this passage. Watchman, what of the night? What time of night is it? What o'clock is it? How much of the night is gone, and what remains to come? It is the business of watchmen to give or tell the time of night. Or what from the night? What has happened since it was night? Hast thou observed nothing? Is not the enemy nigh, or danger at hand? Or what sayest thou, cometh the night of darkness, affliction, and distress in which we are? When will it be over? It may be best of all to understand of a prophet or prophets who were called watchmen under the Old Testament as ministers of the word are under the New Testament, in allusion to the shepherds and watchmen of cities, and whose business it is to show sinners the danger of their ways, and to, I love this, and to arouse sleepy saints. Look at the person next to you, are they still awake? And to arouse sleepy saints, so to give the time of night that the churches of Christ may know whereabout they are. Again, that's John Gill. Take your Bibles and turn with me also to Ezekiel chapter 33. Just a couple of books forward. The book of Ezekiel chapter 33. Listen to what God told this prophet. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them. Now listen to this very carefully. When I bring the sword upon a land, sword of judgment, sword of destruction. When I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse 6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. Look at the last phrase. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Pastors are the spiritual watchmen for the nation. If they are not sounding the word of warning, or the trumpet of warning, as the analogy of the Old Testament, the blood of those who are destroyed for lack of warning will be required of them. The blood of those who should have been warned by them will be upon them. How many of our pastors are warning the people of America today the danger that we are in? Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 10, just a couple of verses here in this chapter. verses 10 and 11, Isaiah said, his watchmen are blind. This passage is classic. His watchmen are blind. What good is a blind watchman? His watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They are all, this is the King James Version. Some people say, I can't understand the King James Version. Let's see if you can understand this. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs.
Amen.
Is that hard to understand?
No.
They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. What good is a dog that can't bark? You might as well have a cat. Meow. They're dumb dogs, the watchmen. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. That's not hard to understand, is it?
No.
John Gill wrote, they are all dumb dogs. Dogs are appointed to guard a house or flock and to give notice of the approach of a robber by night. They are thus an emblem of a prophet appointed to announce danger. Here the dog is an emblem of vigilance. The phrase dumb dogs is applicable to prophets who from any cause failed to warn the nation of their guilt and danger. So every pastor in America that is not warning their congregation and this nation of the danger that we are in and our culpability in that danger, according to the Word of God, those pastors are dumb dogs.
Amen.
Do our pastors, our watchmen, not see the sword coming? If not, they are no watchmen. And ladies and gentlemen, the sword is not coming from Iran or Russia or China. It comes from within our own country. It comes from within the Beltway around Washington, D.C. Donald Trump, not Vladimir Putin, is our problem. Pete Hegseth, not the IRGC, is our problem. And any pastor who doesn't understand that, as the prophet said, is a dumb dog. Isaiah 66 and verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you. If you want to turn to that, you need to underline that phrase. Let me read it again. Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. That is the true Christian, the true believer. Your brethren that hated you. Your brethren that hated you. That cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Again, that's Isaiah 66:5. Albert Barnes writes this about this verse. Your brethren that hated you. Listen to this commentary. This is so good, so important. No hatred of others was ever more bitter than was that evinced by the Jews for those of their nation who embraced Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. Said, Let the Lord be glorified. It means that even while they were engaged in this cruel persecution, in these acts of excommunicating their brethren, they professed to be serving God and manifested great zeal in his cause. This has commonly been the case with persecutors. Let me slow down. The most malignant and cruel persecution of the friends of God have been originated under the pretext of great zeal in God's service. The greatest persecutors of the people of God are the people who pretend to be doing it in the name of God. So it was with the Jews when they crucified the Lord Jesus. Albert Barnes. So it was, in fact, in the persecutions excited by the Jews against the apostles and early Christians. So it was in all the persecutions of the Waldenses by the papists, in all the horrors of the Inquisition, in all the crimes of the Duke of Alba. So it was in the blood rain of Mary. And so it has ever been in all ages and in all countries where Christians have been persecuted. The most malignant foes of the church have been found in the church. Persecuting true Christians under great pretense of zeal for the purity of religion. This last statement you should really, really let it sink in and hopefully remember it. It should always be regarded as proof of a bad heart and a bad cause. When a man endeavors to inflict pain and disgrace on others on account of their religious opinions. Close quote. When people seek to do harm to other people simply on the basis of their religion is the sign of an evil, wicked heart. I don't care how many times they go to church. I don't care how often they say they read their Bible. I don't care how much they profess to be a Christian. Anybody who carries hatred and violence in his heart against a fellow human being based upon that person's religion is a demon-possessed individual. We talk about people in other lands of other religions whom they say hate us. We have nothing to talk about because I know people that call themselves Christians, some of them in the pulpits, many of them sitting on deacon boards and boards of trustees, many of them of reputation among the congregations of the churches of America, who say audibly, we should fly B-52s over every Muslim nation in the world and just bomb them all into oblivion. The church, the professing church of Jesus Christ in America today is eaten up with hate. Amen. For Muslim people. And not just people of the Muslim faith, but people of the Buddhist faith, or the Hindu faith, or whatever the faith might happen to be. Just because of their religious faith, they are hated by so-called Christians in America. Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. And it doesn't matter in what religion they are lost. You can be lost in a Baptist church just as easily as you are lost in a Muslim mosque. Amen. all who are lost, Jesus came to save. I came not to destroy, I came to save, Jesus said. And these Christians who espouse to be a disciple of the Prince of Peace, and who have nothing but hatred in their heart against people of other religions, other nationalities, other ethnicities, they are proving that their hearts are as black as the sin of hell itself. I submit that we, America, are in a similar state as was Israel and Judah to whom the prophet spoke that we read in our passages. Our watchmen have become dumb dogs. They don't bark the warning of danger. They get up and sing the songs, the pretty songs, "All is well. You're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay, everything is okay. Aren't you glad you came to church? Okay. We're all okay, brothers and sisters. Oh, you shouldn't worry about the problems of the day. You shouldn't worry about what's going on in Washington, D.C., you shouldn't worry about what's going on in the fields of war. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay." That's not a dog. That's a weasel. That's a wolf. Thank you. When a dog sees danger, he barks. He warns his family that somebody's here that doesn't belong here. I sense danger. I sense a threat. I'm warning my family that they need to be on guard. They need to be ready for the danger. That's what a dog does. That's what a watchman does. A watchman warns his congregation of the danger. He warns the nation of their sin and their iniquity, and what they have. We don't have a problem in international affairs that we, the United States, has not created. Amen. We have created our own problems. And then we run in like the 7th Cavalry and we're going to solve the problem that we created. Problem is, we don't know how to solve the problem. All we know how to do is create problems. But when the problems now then blow up and they become mature, full-blown problems, all of a sudden now we don't have any idea on how to stop the problem, except to throw more war at it, more guns, more bombs, more bloodshed. Our watchmen are dumb dogs. If our pastors in America were doing what they should be doing, I'm talking universally, I'm talking about throughout the denominations of this country, if they were doing their jobs in the pulpits, we wouldn't be having the problems in Congress that we have in Washington, D.C. We would not. Not only are our watchmen dumb dogs, our brethren have become persecutors. That's what the prophet said. The brethren that hated you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read a few verses from this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul was being besmirched, belittled, impugned, denigrated, castigated, criticized by fellow professing Christians, especially the Judaizing Christians. So he's addressing them. He's addressing this carnal church in Corinth. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes, that means lashes on the back, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one, 39 stripes. That was the legal limit that they were allowed under the Roman government to lash a person's back, 39 lashes, because any lashes above that risked killing the victim. So that's why three times he was beaten with 39 lashes. That was a matter of law. That's why they're all the same. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's what it cost the Apostle Paul to preach the new covenant gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know, when I was in dispensationalist, rapturist, pro-Israel dogmatism, hardly anyone from other prophecy camps treated me hatefully. I've thought about that a lot since I saw the truth of this subject. And I've gone back over my ministerial life. And somewhere in my contemplations, it dawned on me. You know, in all of those over three decades of preaching Zionism, I do not recall Christian brethren from other eschatological camps attacking me, trying to destroy me, calling me names. There may have been one, so my memory is not perfect, and so therefore it'd be hard to say dogmatically that there was never one, but what I can say, I can't remember one. I can't remember one that ever tried to do me ill because of our disagreement on eschatological matters. But since I no longer subscribe to prophetic futurism, dispensational eschatology, Christian Zionism, call it what you will, dispensationalist Christian Zionists by the scores have treated me more hatefully than most unbelievers I have ever come across. I'm treated worse by Christian Zionists than I am by people who make no profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I find that fascinating. I was never accosted by post-millennialists or amillennialists, by historic premillennialists. All these different interpretations of Scripture and the men who held them all the years. And we had a large church. We had a large influence in our city. We were very, very well known in our town. A much larger town than Little Kalispell. This was a metro area of close to 500,000 people. And we were constantly in the newspapers, constantly on newscasts, constantly on television interviews and television. I did so many television interviews and debates, I couldn't count them all. Our church was known throughout the entire panhandle of Florida. Our radio broadcast elected and unelected scores of people in public office, both state and local. We had a very vocal presence, a very notable presence. And yet, through all of those years, I was never attacked by people with differing eschatological interpretations. Not once that I can remember. But as soon as I left premillennial futurism, as soon as I left Christian Zionism, they came out of the woodwork. They promised to destroy me. They promised to destroy this fellowship. And up until this very hour, there are people in this town and people around the country who are plotting ways to hurt us. How can we do harm to Chuck Baldwin? How can we do harm to Liberty Flag? What can we do? The ire, the hatred, the venom, the animosity, the bitterness that just boils up out of their soul. Why? I think I know the answer. I really do. I've talked about this on several radio interviews I've done over the last several months. I think I know the answer. People that follow Christian Zionism as ardently and as devoutly as these Christian Zionists I'm speaking of do have succumbed themselves to the spirit of the doctrine that they embrace. And the spirit of Zionism is death and hatred, murder and bloodshed. That's the spirit of Zionism. So when anyone, Gentile or Jew, Christian or non, when they adopt a philosophy that is predicated on the spirit of death, destruction, bloodshed, and murder, it cannot but help become a part of their psyche. It's a part of their spirit. It's a part of their heart. It's a part of who they are. When you embrace a doctrine of death, you become part of the promulgation of the doctrine of death. And that's why these Christians hate everyone who is not a Zionist and want to destroy everyone who is not a Zionist. And that's why they don't want Tucker Carlson on, and some of you out there going, you know, well, I have suspicions about Tucker Carlson. Well, that's fine. I have suspicions about most of you. I mean, I don't know how many people we're going to meet that we don't have suspicions about. But I'll tell you one thing. Why don't you, with the audience he has, the influence he has, and the number of people that he has that are watching him, and the powerful people in public office that are watching him, the lawmakers and the law enforcers, and same thing with Candace Owens and people like that, have the courage to stand up and call Zionism what it is. I don't care what they might have wrong. I will support and applaud that message of anti-Zionism that they bring. As long as they are faithful to that message, I will support that message. Amen. You know, all you people that criticize them, why don't you do it? You get on the air and you start saying what they're saying. You go down to City Hall and tell City Hall what you think about Zionism. You go to your congressman in your state legislatures, and you look them in the eye and you tell them what you think about Zionism and AIPAC and their bribery of their campaign, and see what happens to you. You do what they're doing and then come back and criticize. I'm telling you that anybody of any persuasion who has the courage to stand up in public and criticize the curse of our lifetime, which is Zionism, they should have our support and our thanks for doing so. Plenty of opportunities to disagree with them about other things when they arise or should they arise. But when they talk about that, I am going to support them, and we all should. Amen. These people are being threatened. Tucker has been threatened with jail, imprisonment from the federal government, from the Trump administration. Let's be specific. When we talk about the federal government, we're talking about the Trump administration. Amen. The Trump administration has threatened Tucker Carlson with prison. Candace Owens has had her life threatened more than once. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Because, and you and I both know it, because he was having a change of heart on the subject of Israel, and he said he could no longer support the state of Israel. And 2 weeks later, he was dead. We know the reason why. So all these critics out there that are finding fault with all everybody and anybody, including Chuck Baldwin, okay, you can find something to criticize. I criticize myself more than you criticize me. I guarantee you that. But you can always find something wrong. But I tell you what, these people that have the courage to stand up in this day, in this hour, at this moment in history, and take the curse of curses straight on, head on, face to face, mano a mano, one on one, deserve the thanks of everyone who appreciates freedom and liberty in this country. People are always trying to put me in a prophetic pigeonhole. A lot of people, broadcasters, when I'm on their shows, they'll say, define yourself. Now, what do you describe yourself? I don't like labels. I really don't. Because they mean different things to different people. If I say a label of any kind, a person over here is going to be thinking of something over here, and a person over here is going to think of something entirely different. Labels in today's lexicon means almost nothing. The word Christian itself has been so compromised, so diluted, that the name Christian itself used to mean something very special and very particular. And even unsaved people, in fact, unsaved people, the ones that called us Christians in Antioch. Where's Antioch? Syria. Syria is the birthplace of Gentile Christianity in the world. You hear that, all you Christian Zionists out there? You're gung-ho for the head chopper, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda thug who Donald Trump helped put into the presidency of Syria. And now he is an ally of the United States. And now then you're all for him. This is the same guy that was killing American soldiers in the Iraq War. The same guy. Now he gets invited to the White House. And now all the Christians are applauding him. And what's he doing? He's killing, massacring thousands and thousands of Syrians all over, Christians all over Syria. Syria was the birthplace of Gentile Christianity in the world. as Jerusalem and Judea was the birthplace of Jewish Christians in the world. And now, we, the United States, and that means our tax dollars, are supporting one of the most murderous, bloodthirsty, hate-filled men to ever live in this generation, who is now murdering our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the churches of America are applauding Trump and are applauding the head chopper in Syria. Because why? Because they are working in concert with Israel. And as long as you're working in concert with Israel, we support you. But if you're not working in concert with Israel, we hate you. Christians in America hate the Iranians. They don't just see them as an opponent. They hate them. They hate them. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
They hate them. In their heart, they call out for their blood, for their destruction. When Donald Trump got up 3 or 4 different times and said he's going to wipe out the civilization of Iran, thousands and tens of thousands of Christians and evangelicals, yes! Yes! Hatred. Why? What has Iran done to you? How much threat does Iran pose to the United States of America? Tulsi Gabbard got up under oath in 2025, not too long before Trump started this stupid, unjust, unrighteous war, and told the world since 2003 the United States government recognizes that Iran has never sought a nuclear weapon. They had never sought one. They had a supreme leader who was a devout Shia Muslim. He was a man who did not believe in weapons of mass destruction were in accordance with the Quran and the teachings of Islam, and therefore he disallowed the nation from using them. Now, of course, he's dead, and things are changing. But it was not a threat. How many of you know an Iranian people? One hand. I'm the only two of us. Only two of us. No, I know several. How many do you know?
I had a boss in California who was awful. She was the daughter of a diplomat.
So one man.
One woman.
I know several men and their wives from Iran. Every one of them is a very successful businessman. They are intelligent, educated, brilliant people. They love America. They love what America stands for. They have no ill will against this country at all. None. The people in Iran historically have always looked to America in high regard. They often quote our Constitution and our Bill of Rights as a model of human freedom in the world and a goal to achieve amongst society. Have they had problems in the past? Of course. America's had a few problems in the past. Do we have some things to apologize for in our history? Yeah, you bet. We've got a lot to apologize for in our history. There's not a nation in the world that doesn't have things to apologize for in their history. That doesn't mean they can't learn. It doesn't mean they can't change. It doesn't mean they can't become better and learn from their mistakes and do better and so forth. And I think America has shown the world how a nation can make mistakes and yet turn around and be better for it. And Iran has always appreciated that with us. I've had several long conversations with these men. And they speak for the Iranian people. They were all the ones I'm talking about were from Iran. They were born in Iran. When I had my radio talk show down in Florida, of course, back then I was pro-Israel. And I don't remember what the discussion was. But I said something on the radio that piqued the emotion of this businessman in town. He was an Israeli businessman. He said, "Pastor Baldwin, will you come to my office? I want to talk to you." I said, "Sure." So I went. So I go back. He had a store. Went back to the store into his office. And as soon as I sat down, he reached into his drawer, pulled out a stainless steel Colt 45 automatic, put it down on his desk like that. He had my attention. "I like what you said about Israel. I too am Israeli. Every summer, I take summer months. I go home, I fight with IDF. I kill all Palestinians. Men, women, children means no one to me. I killed them all. They're all cattle. Thank you for being pro-Israel." I walked out of that office. I said, "Whoa, something is not right here." That was one of the things that started my whole journey of questioning everything. I've never, I could count them on two hands, the Iranians that I'd known personally. I've never had one of them, not one, say one word about hating anybody. They don't hate Jews. I've never heard one of them say anything about wanting to kill Jews or wanting to kill other Muslims, like the Sunni Muslims, their Shia Muslims. I never heard the first word of bitterness, hatred, anger, not once. You say, "Well, you haven't met all 93 million a month." No, I haven't. But I know that our media and our government has lied to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, demonizing a people that we don't even know, a people that have done nothing at all to threaten or to harm us. And the evangelical world is all gung-ho about sending our young men and women to their deaths to fight an enemy that is not even our enemy. We did not even go to war because they were threatening us. We went to war because Israel said they were threatening them. We were fighting the war for Israel. We've got to stop fighting Israel's wars. Yeah. So I don't like labels, and I don't call myself anything. But I do know this. I know that the Rothschild-created Zionist State of Israel is not the Israel of the Bible. I know that God destroyed the nation of Israel in AD 70, and there is no promise or even insinuation of a resurrected national Israel. In fact, the word nation or nations in the New Testament, look it up if you doubt me, does not even once, not once, reference Israel, but only Gentile nations. I know that the Israel of God, Galatians 6, is only spiritual Israel. Those who trust Christ as Savior, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. I know that the second coming of Jesus Christ will not be the riding in of a glorified seventh cavalry to rescue all these lazy, spoiled, rotten, good-for-nothing Christians who sit back on their blessed assurance and do nothing to fight the imps of hell as they destroy our liberties and enslave our children. And I know that I have endured more hatred and persecution from Christian Zionists than any other group of people on earth. And I also know that most America's preachers are as Isaiah's dumb dogs that won't bark and are worthless watchmen who are doing nothing to rouse sleepy saints or give the time of night to the churches. That they are sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, greedy dogs which can never have enough, shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain. That much I do know. And I also know that until Christian people in this country get their eyes off Israel-based prophecies and onto Christ and out of these churches with worthless watchmen and dumb dogs in the pulpit and grow a backbone and are willing to put truth above their wallets and their reputations, God is going to do nothing for the church in America except give us over to our enemies. Ladies and gentlemen, I close with this. America's problem is a pulpit and church problem. Fix that problem, and most of the rest of our problems will disappear. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's stand.